What's amazing to me and what excites me is the fact that the more this world becomes debased, degraded, and disgusting, the more excited, the more on fire, and the more tenacity I have for God. He wants us to rule and reign in this life. Praise the Lord. I've got a little something here, but before I do that, does anybody have any praise reports? Anything they want to thank God for, give God glory for? Yes.
Every day I just get stronger and stronger. I personally just can't believe how quickly I am getting back into walking. I'm a ways to go, but it's like, every day it's like I double almost.
Well, Deborah, I'm going to share with you what I heard a professional say about you just recently.
Professional?
A professional. I'm talking about a nurse. And she said she can't believe, and in all her years of experience, she's never seen anybody recover as fast as you.
Really?
Miss Jean.
Oh, every day, my first day I took four steps back, two steps to the side, and the next day they had me walking 10 feet, and then they had me walking. Just get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Well, then we need to give God thanks and glory, huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You know, some of you may know, some of you may not know, that right now what a lot of people would classify turmoil is going on in my job. There's a lot of things that I got to tell you from an ethical standpoint I don't understand and I don't like. But you know what? It's not moving me. I'm secure. I got peace. There's things that I don't like, but you know what? It's amazing to me that people can talk about integrity and they don't even know. They can't even give you a definition of the word, let alone habit.
They couldn't spell it.
Exactly. And, you know, they talk about loyalty, but then they turn around and do the same thing and be disloyal to the person who they think is disloyal to them. You know, it's instead of, you know, it being like God said it was supposed to be, it's like monkey see, monkey do, you know. Or mess me over and I'll mess you over. And
the Bible says that in the end times, men will grow worse and worse.
That's right. 2 Timothy 3, I believe it is where it says that. It says, in these last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers. You know, I mean, it just, and you see it, but you know what? The more I see it, the more I thank God, and the more I know God's presence is there, it's real, it's around me. Which brings me to another subject here. If nobody else has any more praise reports or anything they want to give God glory about. Bill and I had a conversation last Saturday night. And, of course, I talked a little bit about it on Sunday, you know, taking care of the business at hand during the service. And, you know, I am so, so thrilled the fact that, you know, even after all these years, you know, the Scripture says that men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And, you know, I got to tell you, I thank God and I thank Him not only for His Word, but I thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings that Word to focus reality and fruition in our lives, if you understand what I'm saying. I've had a lot of knowledge given to me by hearsay, some by study, some by hearsay, over the years. But I'm gaining an understanding, and in that understanding is bringing peace to my life. I mean peace. I mean, it's not that I haven't had peace before, but I mean, it's almost like a peace and a calm that I don't think I've ever known before. I don't know if that makes any sense. I've known peace, and I've known calm, and I've known security, but I don't think I've ever known it the way I know it right now. I mean, if I can just be graphic for a minute, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, and I'm secure right here where I'm at.
Really?
Praise the Lord. And only God can do that.
Amen.
Only a relationship with Him can do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I got to tell you, I am so excited. You know, we talked a little bit about people, you know, why the church isn't filled up. My opinion is, I'm not pushing this out as doctrine, but I believe that, and I mentioned this maybe to a few people before, that I think the day of the big church, now God's still using Kenneth Copeland and people like that, and I thank God for it. I'm not against that at all. But I think, and of course I mentioned to somebody in the fellowship on Sunday at Patrick and Donna's that, you know, Paul Young E. Cho, the last time I heard, which I can't tell you how many years ago that was, had a church of 188,000 people. He's got to be pushing about who knows what now. I'm not even going to try to guess. And the only way he can do that, let's face it, a pastor can't pastor that many people. So you have to have people that God calls and raises up. And the small groups, and I've seen this even in prayer groups in church, you know, I can remember stirring up, man, you talk about stirring up fire. They got on fire one night in this church that I was going to, and they decided, man, we need to have a prayer group. They'll go up in the baptismal area where they change clothes, and they'll get to praying. They'll be praying for the service and the pastor and everything. We started praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started revealing things, started speaking to us, and all of a sudden it made them nervous. They went, we've got to stop this. You know, because the things that weren't right were being exposed. And pressure was being put on them in areas that was undoing their kingdom. Listen to what I'm saying. Their little kingdom that they were building. Well, we all know that it's not about us, it's about God. And so when people start to pray and they get serious and they start to intercede, what happens is you better know God's going to move in. You may not have expected it. What happens, you may not have, you know, even thought that this would even occur, but when you start getting in the face of God, things are going to happen. You're going to get understanding. You're going to get insight. He's going to speak to you. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. And, of course, people who are, you know, get uncomfortable with that, those are the people you need to be praying for, and you need to be asking God, God, am I still supposed to be here? You know? I had no idea back in December of 93 that what was going to happen. All I can tell you, and I can't even explain this to you, all I can tell you is I knew that I knew that I knew in my heart I was where God wanted me to be. I knew I was home. Right where He wanted me. And when everybody was getting shook up, ready to, you know, saying, well, where are you going to go when the church closes? I knew that I knew that I knew that God wasn't done with that work yet. And God raised up Stan. Well, I'm giving glory to God. I'm not giving glory to Stan. But the point is that God doesn't start something that He, you know, just stops in the middle of it.
Right.
And I still feel the same way today as I did then, even stronger. I'm right where I need to be. I'm secure. The word that's coming forth here is word that I can tell you that I made this comment too. I'd pay to hear this word. I would literally pay to hear it. And I'm getting it for free. Well, we all know it's not really free because it costs us something, and that means us, you know. But it's amazing. It's amazing to me. God is amazing. And while it's not new revelation, it may be new revelation to us, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any other comments? Anybody want to say how the word's changing them? Or?
Well, I don't mean to talk to them, but, you know, before coming here and getting understand teaching, as hard as I tried not to worry, I was like the number one worrywart in the world. I would sit there and say, Lord, don't let me worry. Please, I'm casting all on You. The next thing I know, I'm still worried about it. And if some of you know the circumstances that Arthur and I are in right now, if you saw our checkbook, you'd wonder. And I'm not the least. I'm just waiting for God to take over. It's like unbelievable how I am so calm in the face of all of this. It's like, nope, God's got it under control. That's it.
Man.
That's all there is to it.
Man. Well, unfortunately, we have to unlearn this because we've been taught this, that we think we go out, which the Bible is very clear about why we go and get a job, but we work into it. We work out our salvation. We grow. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's taken me a long time to get to where I am now. But for the benefit of you and Art, I will tell you there was a time here not too many years ago when my granddaughter was either here or just about here. And I mean, all of a sudden, she was out of a job because of her, you know, pregnancy and stuff. She was getting close to delivering. my daughter, and all of a sudden I lost my job. And I mean, literally, we didn't know where our next dollar or meal was coming from. And yet not one time did we miss a meal. And what God did to help us out through people or whatever, which, I mean, it was enough. I wouldn't say that, you know, it was, I mean, all I can say is God moved. I threw my hands up in the living room, my daughter and I did, and we said, God, we got nowhere to go but to you. And God never failed one time, not one time, not one time. But we need to understand this, and this, you know, this comes from growth and the kind of teaching we're getting. You begin to understand and begin to get insight into things. As it says in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of our understanding become illuminated and enlightened to what really is in this book and what God's plan and His pattern and His will is. The Scripture says you're supposed to get a job so that you'll have money to give. And then you go back and I can name Scripture after Scripture, Matthew 6, other places, Philippians 4:19, where He says, and Jeremiah 29:11, that all talk about how his prosperity comes from Him. You know, it comes as our soul prospers, which means as we grow in Him, our spirit and our soul begin to really search and seek after Him. But, I mean, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. I know what you have need of before you ask. And then he also goes on to say in another place, we all know the Scripture very well, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That doesn't bring glory to God. And you know, the cool thing is when you finally realize that it's not supernaturally dropped out of heaven, as far as, you know, just falling out of the clouds or something. I mean, it could happen that way, but God uses men. Ecclesiastes 2:26, you know. To the one who pleases Him, He gives wisdom and honor and, well, you all know what I'm saying. And then at the end of that Scripture, it says, to the one who doesn't please Him, He gives the task or the job to bring the wealth in, gather the wealth for the one who pleases Him. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In order to grow into that, you've got to be under the Word and you've got to stay faithful. You've got to have a relationship with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can't tell you why God directed me here. I just know that there's something here, and so I'm anxious to find out what it is. So if you'll pray with me. Father, I seek Your presence tonight. These are Your people, Lord. I don't want to just give words tonight, Lord. I'm inadequate, Lord. I need You. I need Your presence. I want You to come and I want You to speak and I want You to deliver a word tonight, Lord, that it's from You. Holy Spirit, I desire, I ask for Your presence here tonight to operate through me, to operate in the hearts of the people here tonight, Your kids, Your sons and daughters, Lord, Your heirs, so they can receive something from You, Lord. Whatever that is, Holy Spirit, we leave that to You and the Father. Bring the Father's will in this place through me and in these people tonight. And for that, I praise and thank You and give You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord your God in your midst. The mighty one, yes, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Now, I heard it said by somebody one time that they looked that up. And what that is it's the picture you get is God standing there nervously. And if you want to use those words, I don't think God gets nervous about anything or anxious, but he's anticipating, he's excited. And he's over you and he's almost whirling about with joy over you and I. Let me read it again. It says, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. That's quite a picture. Can you see God just getting real excited about you and around you, rejoicing over you? The same way we just had the message about us rejoicing in Him? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord.
I've got a definition written here that I've read this before. It says, joy in the Hebrew here means dancing, jubilation.
Exactly.
Tremendous cause for celebration.
You bet.
Get out all the finery. Put on your best clothes. This will be a celebration to be all celebrations. And then I've got a little parenthesis that says, and God is jumping for pure joy.
Yes, that's right. That's the picture. That's the picture. Gives you an interesting picture of your father, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. He goes on to say, He will quiet you with His love. You know, it seems like on every hand, every day, there's something that comes up that would cause us loss of a job, or loss of hours, or some malady that the enemy tries to bring in and tries to steal our joy and to try to tear us down. And yet God's got the answer. And God in His peace will give us peace. And the picture here, He's rejoicing over us. And then He goes on to say more than that, He will quiet you with His love. How many know when you really feel loved, you feel secure? You feel secure. Because you know nothing's going to stop that love, and that love is not going to let anything happen to you. Amen? There's protection and safety there. Right? He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, we sing a song here that talks about, you know, dancing with the Lord, or Him dancing over us. Awesome song. There's nothing, if you can get a hold of this picture, there is nothing in our lives, daily or whatever tries to pop up, that we have to be in fear or nervous over. I didn't hear any amens there.
Amen, yes, that's right.
Now listen, he goes on in verse 18 and he says, I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. There's a scripture that says that He'll make His enemies His footstool. How many know we're the body of Christ? He's the head, we're the body. So that means that His footstool, that means it's under our feet too. Even if we happen to be the foot, it's under our feet. The enemy, the calamities, the attacks are under our feet. He says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. What does that mean? Simply, I believe it means no weapon, no device, no attack, no plan. No device, no attack, no plan that is formed against you will prosper.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
What's our responsibility? Keep our eyes on Him. Stay steadfast in the Word and believe. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. This sounds like a tremendous portion of healing here going on in a lot of different areas. I will appoint them for praise and fame. We looked up that word just a little while ago here, and that word fame means a name, a memorial, and a monument. For who? For Him. In every land where they were put to shame. And that shame was, what was that again, Patrick? Right. Okay. At that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I will gather you and I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth, and I will return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. Now, we know in these latter books in the Bible that they are types and shadows and pictures, word pictures, that were given to Israel, but they are also for us in the fact that we are grafted into that vine, according to the Scripture. We are of the seed of Abraham because we've received the Messiah, we've received Jesus as our Savior, and He is the one. So this is for us, those who love His appearing, the Scripture says. So I find great hope, I find great comfort, and I find excitement in these Scriptures. The Lord your God in your midst. Is He in our midst tonight?
Yes.
Is He in our midst every day?
Yes.
Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter that was sent, is the one that's in our midst, and we know that we're in Him. And that's why the Comforter has come. The Mighty One, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Cold?
Yes.
We tried to get you to move, but you didn't. Gee, but you need to tell us so that we know. I'm interested to hear what some of the rest of you have to say about what you see in this. You know, I see in verse 19 one of the things the Scripture says. He says that, you know, He's going to deal with those who try to bring harm or calamity or who touch God's anointed. And in verse 19 it says, "Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you." You better not be messing with God's kids. God's kids are His anointed. Why are they anointed? Because of Christ. Christ who is the anointing. Christ means the anointed one with the anointing. "I will save the lame. I will gather those who were driven out." You know, one of the things we know for sure today is that a lot of people, more and more, are leaving churches because they're tired of the rhetoric. They're tired of the false doctrine. They're uncomfortable. And not only that, people who in these cliques in some of these bigger churches just, you know, they're not out to gather people in or to be the examples or be the ambassadors of God. They got their little cliques, and if you're not in a clique, well, then you don't exist in their eyes. I imagine pretty much many of us, if not all of us, have been in places like that.
I like the part where it says, "I will gather them, praise and honor."
Yeah.
"In every land where they were put to shame." Now, every country where the Jews walked, they were always put to shame.
Yep.
They were always blamed for some foolish nonsense.
That's right.
Just because they were God's people.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it's going to happen with us too.
Well, it's happening, wouldn't you say? All right, haven't we all experienced that to some degree?
We were speaking, and I was looking through the Bible here, and I looked through Zephaniah, and I got to the second chapter, and it talks about Gaza. Now, that's exactly where they're having a problem, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we start off at chapter 2, verse 4. "Gaza will be abandoned, and Ashkelon left in ruins. At midday, Ashdod will be emptied, and Ekron uprooted. Woe to you who live by the sea, O Carathite people. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of Philistines. I will destroy you, and none will be left. The land by the sea where the Carathites dwell will be a place for shepherds and sheep pens. It will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah." Now the remnant, that's today. This is the remnant today. "They will find pasture, and even they will lie down in the houses of Ashkelon. The Lord their God will care for them, and he will restore their fortunes. That's a perfect sign of what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect thing is, and this is where the prophecies of God are coming too bold, blatantly bold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't see it. They just cannot understand these things. And when you think of what's going on right now, over one man, precious in their sight, and they're precious in the sight of the Israelites. They'll tear that whole country down.
Yes.
Just for one man.
But you know, the cool thing is, we have a God who cares for us in that same way.
Exactly.
That's what the scripture means. Don't mess with my anointed. Right. Don't mess with my anointed. You don't touch my kids unless you want trouble. Look around you. It's obvious. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You can see the whole world falling apart. People are selfish. They have no motivation anymore except to build themselves, to do for themselves, and they don't care what happens to anybody else. They have no ethics. They have no morals. It goes right along with 2 Timothy chapter 3, or 1 Timothy, I can't remember which one it is. It's one of those two. And everything in their lives is falling apart around them. And yet they continue to run just as fast as they can to come to damnation and to destruction. By choice. Rather than consider God.
I remember in chapter 3, verse 20. At that time I will gather you. Mine says, at that time I will bring you home.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice sound, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That to me sounds peaceful and quiet and warmth and joy.
Absolutely.
And I'll give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And those people in Israel have got so much going for them, they don't even realize what's going on.
Well, and the thing is,
read these old, believe all this.
Well, and the thing is, you know, obviously we also know that in this, we get benefit from this, but this is not for us. Selfishly, this is for the kingdom. This is for God's kingdom, to promote His kingdom, to promote His will. Amen? And we're a part of that. We're a part of that. You know, the Bible talks about that. In fact, in Psalm 91, turn there. Let's just look at that for a moment. Psalm 91. You know, somebody once said, you know, when you get in trouble, call 911. Or dial, you know, look at 911. Psalm 91:1. Let's just look at that. In light of what we just read, it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide. And that word abide means to remain constant, to dwell or live in that place. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord what? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. The only place you can put your trust in this day and age is in God. Amen? Now listen. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you, not maybe, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. Man, when the storms of life are raging, you just tuck yourself right in under those wings, and you're safe. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into or safe. Gather under His wings. Run into His name. Call upon Him in the time of trouble. He will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. His truth. What? His truth will be your shield and buckler. That sounds like taking on the armor of God, doesn't it? You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor for pestilence that walks in darkness. The next calamity that's right around the corner, if you will. Nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Everybody's all excited now. Everybody's nervous. Well, don't you know? The ozone's going away. We got global warming. You know, there was a time when that would just make me angry. It doesn't make me angry anymore. It just makes me sad that people are that foolish. And I'm sorry, in the Christian church, people are that foolish. Jumping on this bandwagon, global warming. Give me a break. For me to believe that, for me to say that that's happening, and we're going to be destroyed if we don't do something about it, says God's not big enough to handle it. Or God's stupid, and He didn't have this under control, or He didn't see this happening. That goes against everything we've been taught in the last 2 or 3 months, let alone over the entire years of this church. Bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds. Now listen. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. Only, now listen, get a hold of this, only with your eye will you behold, will you see the reward of the wicked. We don't have a part in that. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Because you have made, now listen carefully, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. I'm reminded of the scripture all of a sudden that says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my burden, I think this is the right scripture. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Praise the Lord. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Listen now. This is a promise. It's set in stone. No evil shall befall you. Remember, the enemy comes in as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he's been made a toothless loud mouth that has no effect and no power unless we give it to him. Nor shall any, now listen, any plague, nor shall any plague, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Tornadoes all around us. Hailstorms. How many here have had their cars damaged by hail and stuff like that in these storms? I haven't. I'm not saying there hasn't been a little bit of hail, but God's been faithful to protect me, to protect what belongs to me, because it's really His to begin with. Right?
Right.
Well, I don't know. There's some new people here. When I was down going to my last year of Bible college in Pueblo, in Vineland, which is right outside of Pueblo, it's a little farming community, and there were some people down there, and these people love the Lord. We used to have a Bible study in their home. And one of the assistant pastors of the church down there was holding this Bible study, and one night they were given testimonies about what God had done. And literally, they had a storm down there that was so bad that it literally devastated the crops all around this farm. And it was just like God parting the Red Sea. The walls on all four sides, and the hail came down, and not one leaf on one row of any kind of crop that they had on their farm was touched. I mean, if you were to look at it from the air, it's like all of a sudden there was something like a box was over them, and they were just protected, and everybody else around them was totally destroyed. Why? Your Bible tells you, you and I have favor with God and man.
Amen.
What you saw there was the favor of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because you have made the Most High, made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then it goes on to tell us what it says in Luke 10:19. It says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. We just read earlier in this chapter, about no plague will come near you. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Luke 10:19 says, look and see, I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the dynamic, explosive, dynamite power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. He's talking about you and I. You want to be delivered from calamity and harm? You want to know that things are taken care of? Set your love upon him. Or, know that he set his love upon you. And he'll deliver you. Remember he said, call on me in the time of trouble. I will set him on high because he has known my name. There's more to it than that. Not just knowing the name, but being safe in that name. Having a relationship with him and in that name. Amen? Yeah. Now listen, verse 15. He shall call upon me. Say, I'm that he. Amen. I'm that he. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will deliver him. Or I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. And I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, I think this last verse basically tells you exactly that salvation is not just praying one time and getting fire insurance and everything's okay. Like we know from the Scripture, it's an everyday process. Salvation's new every day. It's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? But he says, when you call on him, if you dwell in his secret place, and you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then when you call upon him, he will answer, and he will be with you in trouble, and deliver and honor you because you honor him. And with long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's good stuff. It's taken me years to come to the place where I really believe that God had that kind of good in mind for me. Because don't you know, I'm the most worthless person that ever walked the face of the earth.
But you know, everything that we've read and studied tonight just backs up Jeremiah.
Exactly. 9/11. Exactly. 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 And don't you everybody look at me cross-eyed, because you know you felt the same thing. I happen to know intimately some of you have had real struggles with that, just like I did in my younger years. And I'm getting free of that. That's what I say. I've had knowledge, but now I'm getting understanding and I'm getting insight. It's bringing great peace. Yeah. And it's solidifying in me what I've been confessing and believing for a long time. Only, it wasn't too long ago, even though I said confessing and believing, it was really hoping. Now, come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. You've been there, right there, too. You may still be there to some degree. I'm not telling you I've totally got it all down, but I'm getting there. Amen? But you know what? I'm excited about what's in store in the future. He's come to give me a hope and give you a hope in a future, right? That's his thoughts for you,
yeah.
A hope in a future.
Yeah.
So that means we can continue growing and learning and being that light, that salt and light in the earth. Amen? Continue to give an answer of the hope that's within us. People come to you and say, man, I've got this calamity, and I've got that calamity, and this is wrong in my life, and that's wrong. I got the answer. Let me introduce you to the answer. The answer to all of it. The one who not only gives but is peace. The one who not only gives but is wisdom. The one who not only gives but is salvation. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. A verse rose up in me this past week since Sunday. And I was looking for it earlier this week. I couldn't find it, but y'all know which scripture I'm saying. Holy Spirit, remind me. It just left me. These things shall you do in my name, and even greater, says the Lord.
Right.
Or as Stan puts it, and Stan's paraphrasing, he says, these things will you do, and even more.
Right,
one place it says so much more as the day approaches. Well, that's talking about, I think, things that are, you know, in 2 Timothy 3. But it's also in the positive sense that you're going to do even more. Even greater things in His name. Why? Because we're learning and we're walking in the fact that we know it's not about us, and it's not so we can gain reputation or praise. It's so the kingdom can be built and He'll get honor and glory. Amen?
That's right.
You know, the whole bottom line is we're not here for anything except His pleasure.
Exactly. And for fellowship with Him. That's right. Which brings Him pleasure just in that. And then in that, He has tasks and things for us to do that bring Him pleasure. So,
and when you establish your relationship with Him on that, it kind of puts things in order, too.
Exactly. Brings things into perspective and focus, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? Aha. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My hope and my desire, because of what's stirring in me from this, and I had no clue how this was going to turn out. All I know is what God spoke to me. And I looked at it, and I thought, okay, Lord, it's up to You. I don't know what we're going to do with this. I have no clue, so I need You. But my hope and my prayer is that this stirs in us and builds an excitement to know that we all individually are going to have a part. First of all, we are part of what we read. It's for us. But it will also stir in you and get you excited about your part in what God's doing in these, as some people proclaim, final days and hours. Amen? I want desperately. I mean, you don't understand. And I'll just bet you, knowing you folks the way I do, you're desperately hoping and wanting to be used by God and being a part of that to the close of time in this earth to fulfill God's plan. I mean, there's nothing more exciting to me than being a part of that. There's nothing more exciting to me than being used by God. Nothing more exciting to me except being in His presence. Amen? Praise the Lord. Maybe this wasn't earth-shaking tonight, but I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm really excited, and I'm at peace. I'm at peace. And I trust the Holy Spirit to take what's been said tonight. And I say this as the blessing and as the close tonight, that God will take it, and He'll cause to grow in you, and He'll reveal in you what you need, what's for you out of what was said and looked at tonight, that you'll meditate this, that you'll take this to heart, and you'll let God grow in you and use you in the place that He has for you in what was said tonight. Amen?
Amen.
We thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Bless Your people. Go with them, Lord. Seal Your word in our hearts, Lord, for Your honor and glory, for Your purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.